In the late 1960s and the early 70s, there were all these underground newspapers. They'd emerged mostly from the counterculture and the anti-war movements. And most of them actually weren't all that underground. Like, there wasn't much risk involved in publishing or distributing them. But if you were in the military and you wanted to publish stories that strayed from the company line, or even if you just wanted to read those stories, you could get in serious trouble. So that led in part to something called the GI Underground Movement. And one of the newspapers they produced, called Fed Up, was published in Tacoma near Fort Lewis from 1969 until 1973. KPLU's Paula Whistle tracked down some copies of the paper and some of the people who were involved.
What do we have here on the table?
Well, I have assembled some of the archives from the coffee house.
Stan Anderson's dining room table is covered in old GI underground newspapers from around the country. He's clearly a guy who likes to keep stuff. His house is filled with anti-war posters and such. During the Vietnam War, he was just out of the Army when he helped set up the Shelter Half Coffee House in Tacoma.
You see in this picture that I have in front of me of the Shelter Half in 1968, it shows some round tables with GIs sitting around it.
Soldiers could come in, hang out, play music, and help put together the underground newspaper known as Fed Up.
It was a fun process. People would be sitting and writing by hand, and someone else that knows how to type would type it for them.
The underground paper projected a definite in-your-face attitude. Next to the masthead, there's a cartoon of a general saying, "This here's rotten commie subversive propaganda.
And I don't want to catch any of you clowns reading it."
There was also serious news about the war and the growing opposition to it within the military.
Bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting.
The newspaper was to the anti-war movement what the M16 was to the war. That was your weapon. That was your voice. That was, without the electronic technology we have today, there was more of a real need for the newsprint. And to distribute it on base was a mission, in a sense. It was like going on a patrol in the jungle, except you weren't going to get shot, but you might end up in the stockade.
I am General Paul D. Hawkins, commander of the U.S. Military Assistance Command in Vietnam. Here today, the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines are joined together in a common effort to help this country.
This particular issue in my hand has a headline, Jane Fonda Banned from Fort.
That's right, Jane Fonda, actress and anti-war activist. In the spring of 1970, she was on a listening tour.
So we took her out to Fort Lewis just to talk to GIs. It was an open post at the time. It was legal for anybody to go on base without having to check in.
Easy access or not, they soon found themselves surrounded by military police, detained, fingerprinted.
Was it kind of exciting? You're here with Jane, famous Jane Fonda.
Yeah, I was
getting
a little
processed.
Bit taken aback by it, as were the GIs. I mean, you know, you're young men in your late teens, early 20s, and this beautiful kind of sexy star comes along.
Anderson ended up being expelled for life from Fort Lewis. When he asked why, they said it was because he was on post with Jane Fonda. He says it illustrates what the mood was like in the country at the time.
You don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Medevac helicopters could not find a safe landing zone out of enemy mortar.
By 1971, nearly 54,000 Americans had died in the war. The draft meant that every male between the ages of 18 and 26 had a good chance of being sent to Vietnam.
An Allied force of more than 8,000 men today tightened its hold on the Batangan Peninsula on South Vietnam's central coast.
News of the anti-war movement was front and center.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
It was in this environment that the GI underground newspapers flourished and that Fed Up was being secretly distributed at Fort Lewis.
My name is Bruce McLean, and I'm an attorney here in Ballard.
Bruce McLean wrote for and helped distribute the underground newspaper. He was drafted right out of college and was at Fort Lewis fighting orders to go to Vietnam. He says he'd sneak the papers onto the post and then try to pass them along to fellow soldiers who seemed receptive.
There was a look people that tried to cheat on whether their hair could be over the ears or their mustache could be below the corner of their lip.
Kind of showed you as a rebel.
Made you a hippie, yeah.
As for if he ever got fooled by someone pretending to be anti-war, who was really feeding information up the chain of command, he says, oh yeah.
I have since seen my FBI file that makes that quite clear, that there were agent provocateurs, we called them at the time.
Civilians also did their part to get the paper into the hands of soldiers. Stan Anderson recruited teenagers. Most got caught right away, but he says there were these two kids from Seattle.
They never got caught. They even got fed up into the firing range, into the foxholes. So when the GIs report in the morning from basic training for a rifle practice, they'd find us fed up in the foxhole. What's this? And at that time, we're talking about late 60s, early 70s, the youth was political. I mean, you could find high school kids through college that were interested in everything going on and wanted to be part of it.
And it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next
up is Vietnam. Magon Cornish had just graduated from Cornell in 1972 when she and a group of friends traveled to Tacoma and became part of the collective that was running the Shelter Half Coffee House and helping to put out the underground paper.
We called ourselves the People's Trucking Company because we had traveled across country in an old post office van.
Like a lot of 20-somethings at the time, Cornish was itching to be part of the movement. Although she'd grown up an army brat, she'd turned against the war, and this, she said, felt like concrete rebellion.
It was one of the few areas in the anti-war movement where you could feel like you were really having a role, other than going to marches, you know, you're really having a role in opposing the war.
Oh, I also have over here a piece of the Shelter Half.
Stan Anderson says he'd gotten involved in the anti-war movement while he was still in the military. He'd been drafted into the Army, trained on helicopters, and although he didn't end up being shipped overseas, he never forgot what officers told him in training.
They said, you're going to fly into areas where you're going to have to shoot to kill every man, woman, and child. Regardless of age, if they're moving, you shoot to kill. Somebody raised their hand. Well, how do you know if they're the enemy? The answer was, if you hit them, they're the enemy. Well, a lot of us to that was just something you could not live with.
Yesterday, the Allies killed 23 of the enemy and captured...
At the coffee house, there were a lot of conversations between guys who'd been to war and those about to go.
And you'd see that kind of enlightenment taking place already in somebody that had joined and is just being overwhelmed with the stories that they're hearing.
The war ended, the draft went away, times changed. The GI Coffee House closed, and the last edition of the underground newspaper Fed Up was published in 1973.
That story from KPLU's Paula Whistle.